everyone. This is Coolidge here, and today I am with Not So Much Vanilla. Hi.
Hello.
And Lola Getz.
Hi.
So, I sent out a beacon for a bunch of non-monogamous to come together and talk about, well, not being monogamous.
Oh, we're not talking about cheese?
Oh, well, we can talk about cheese, too, if you want to. We can be non-monogamous about cheese, too. I'm not a one cheese
person. I'm certain there's a way to tie all that in, I'm just saying.
Yeah. And so I have a bunch of questions for all of you, and I didn't give you the questions beforehand for mental preparation.
Yikes.
Because I'm horrible like that. So let's start with question number one. What relationship style would you say you have if you have a label for it? If not, can you describe the situation? And I'll start with Lola.
I don't know what label I would put it on. I guess we have a poly relationship with some rules and some boundaries. I am largely the one who has explored, and you know, the whole thing is pretty open to change. But we're pretty communicative, so we're, me and my partner are together long term, and the sort of firm rule is that we come first, but I can have external relationships, and I can do different things with men and with women, and I kind of only really discovered that I actually wanted that and really felt that way in the past 3 years.
So would you say that you can have relationships of equal footing with your relationship, or is it more of a hierarchical type of deal?
It's a bit of a hierarchy. My partner has to come first, and while he hasn't explored much on his own, I think I'm pretty much okay with him doing anything physically or falling in love with another person, as long as there's the sort of understanding that he lives with me and I come first if it kind of, you know, comes down to a conflict.
Got it. Okay, how about you, Vanilla?
Actually, my situation is pretty similar. So I've got Mr. Vanilla, who I've been with for my entire adult life and part of my childhood. I mean, it kind of started because I'm bi, so it was like, okay, well, do whatever you want with women. And then GWA happened. And I made some friendships with other men. We also have a bit of a hierarchy. Mr. Vanilla is the person that I live with, the person that I'm planning on growing old with. You know, household decisions are us. And, you know, he's the one that's been there for the last 16 years, so he's definitely my priority. But that's not to say that my, I guess we'll say, external relationships aren't, like, they're not just side things. You know, I have fallen in love before with people that aren't Mr. V, and that's okay too.
Yep. Yeah, our stuff is really, really,
I know, similar. Right?
For me, it's an 11-year relationship instead of a 16-year relationship, but
pretty much
basically all of that is the same. Everything mm-hmm. that was said.
How about you?
I mean, it is kind of the same for me, actually, but it's 3 years.
Aww.
But I was never monogamous. So my current partner, which I call, you know, it's called my primary, so to speak. And basically, he came into the relationship as my secondary. He kind of got bumped up, you know, when I broke up with my ex. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, he got quote-unquote promoted.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
Not really in that way.
Fear?
I just feel like you can have multiple primaries, but sometimes one of them will get an edge. And you know, that's usually the one you started out with.
Mm-hmm.
For a majority of reasons, you know, like, no, a variety of reasons. Okay. And so basically it's because it wasn't because, oh, I liked my secondary more and then broke up with my primary. It's more of the fact that I broke up with my primary because we were having a lot of issues. And so it's completely independent of, I like this person better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's never really about what I like about this person more or not. It's just stuff happens. And then, you know, I ended up with one person and we decided that, hey, maybe we can do more. And we did. So we became primaries of each other because it's still possible, in my opinion, to, say, break up with your primary and still have your quote-unquote secondary to be in the same place in your life, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what would be, in your opinion, an ideal poly relationship? As in, some people have a goal. They say, I would love to have a triad, and that's my ideal non-mono relationship.
I personally don't have any kinds of goals. I'm more of the opinion that, like, I'm open to things, and what happens, happens. The man that's, I guess we'll call him man friend, he wasn't somebody that I expected in my life at all either. I just, you know, got to be friends with him and then got closer to him. And then, you know, I know that it's supposed to be bad to say we didn't mean to fall in love, but, you know, I woke up one day and realized, oh shit, I actually do love this person, you know? And,
feelings happen,
right? And I guess ideally it would be, there'd be Mr. Vanilla and there'd be me, and then we'd each have whoever filled in gaps that we weren't satisfying, or, you know, like, that we both have close relationships that may or may not be together, or so that's as open-ended as you can possibly get.
I mean, you know, not everyone has quote-unquote goals, mm-hmm. but more of a, some people actually do.
Yeah.
And since we're exploring all the different types of people and all sorts of different considerations and configurations, so it's nice mm-hmm. to hear and ask first.
Well, the short answer is currently I'm in a V, but eventually maybe a W would be nice.
Yeah. I also don't have goals, but I would like more of a W. My partner hasn't really explored much at all, and it would be a bit more balanced if he did.
Well, Lola said.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm in what you would say a V, and then there's like a lot of tiny, like, little offshoots. That's not enough to, you know, mm-hmm. say there's a line an between asterisk. It. It's like, and yeah, like a lot of asterisks surrounding my hinge.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, because they're not quote unquote serious, or they're not really say, I'm in love with you.
Yeah. It's dating more so than partnership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's the man friend, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, we have friends with benefits, and they don't really, I wouldn't really say that, oh, you're in a line. You're in a point that I collect a line to,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So speaking of going along with that, so a lot of people have rules and boundaries with their relationships, with their, say, primary partners. A lot of times it's usually that, or the partner they started out with. So why won't we all talk about the rules and boundaries that you have set up with your partner? If you have, not everyone does.
Yeah, I definitely do, and it's maybe not my ideal, but there's, you know, respect for what my partner feels okay with and what he doesn't feel okay with. I don't really have any rules or restrictions with women, but it starts to trigger jealousy with him if I'm physically with other men, if there's touching, if there's penetration. Also, he after some conversations, he expressed that he didn't really want anyone to that he didn't specifically want men to see me naked.
Okay.
There's no way not to get into that kind of detail, I guess, to explain it. And it all just comes down to like what makes you feel jealous and what doesn't. It doesn't really make logical sense that it would be fine to do this with women and not with men, because what is the dividing line there? But it's just, you know, he gave it some thought and is just like, you know, the thought of you being penetrated with, you know, another guy's dick is too much for me, but with a woman's strap-on or fingers is no problem for me. And yeah, that's potentially kind of sexist, but it's just, it's how he feels.
And so just so you know, for our audience to know, that is also known as a one penis policy. Really? You haven't? Okay, no. It's a poly term. It's called a one penis policy, and sometimes there's a one vagina policy. where they say like, oh no, you know, like I don't care how many insert you know, same gender, whatever person you have sex with. I just cannot be me, the same as me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it doesn't make sense. And a lot of times I think it just bears with sitting down thinking about why am I threatened by that? And it's just like how a lot of lesbians usually who would have this irrational fear of like, oh, you're gonna cheat on me with a guy, and that's why they don't date bi girls.
Mm-hmm.
As if it's less devastating to get cheated on with another girl, like to get cheated on because your partner went off with another girl. It doesn't make any rational sense, but there it is. So what about you, Vanilla?
Well, I mean, it's changed over the years. To start with, it was more of like a swinger kind of situation where it was, you know, only with another couple, only in the same room, only at the same time, and no love. But like that's kind of loosened up the last, I don't know, several years. We had a bit of a one penis policy as well. And it makes me roll my eyes the same way it does Lola.
It makes me roll my eyes like crazy. It's, yeah, it's like, what?
But okay. I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. Okay, whatever. So I kind of understand that. So, like, I've got no problems with that. But that's actually loosening up a bit, too, because the man friend is somebody that I've gotten really, really close to. And Mr. V actually knows him. They've met and hung out. And, like, he's kind of reconsidering that. So things are in flux there. Like hard and fast rules that don't get broken no matter what are pretty much like, don't prioritize the man friend over Mr. V, you know? My primary relationship is first and foremost, and that's pretty much the sum of that.
For me, it's pretty similar, except for, like I said, my boyfriend can't, I mean, we can renegotiate and things might change, but I like to joke that he can't complain because he came into this eyes wide open. It's like you came into this not, you know, we didn't start this, you know, 5 years after our relationship. You came into this where I was already non-monogamous, and so
mm-hmm. And that's a can of worms that is really hard to close again, isn't it?
Yeah.
It depends, which we'll talk about that later. Where I guess you can say that the only rules are like be open, be communicative, mm-hmm. and don't prioritize me over, you know, don't prioritize other people over me, and that's about it. And you know, be able to have manage your time.
Yeah.
You only have so much time, energy. Yeah, because it's not like how many people can you fall for? It's more of a how much time do you have on your Google Calendar?
Yep.
Slots to fill in.
And then the other one that I forgot to mention was we have a policy about you don't lie even to yourself.
Which can be really hard to follow.
Yeah, like, but...
You try your best.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, not lying to yourself, that's just, you know...
Mm.
It's hard to know everything that you feel.
Well, yeah, but, like, if he asks me a question that the answer is uncomfortable, I can't... Like, I'm not allowed to sugarcoat it. I can't pretend that it's one thing and when it's actually another.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's hard to know when you're lying to yourself, too. So sometimes it's kind of a rule where, like, yes, I'll try to follow it. But if you're lying to yourself, usually you don't do it consciously. You don't go like, okay, yeah, I'm totally, you know, I'm totally fine or I'm totally not jealous. I'm
gonna put this behind this door and lock it up with a little mental key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's hard to do that.
The rule that I could understand that I don't have is instead of like, you know, the one penis, one vagina rule, the like, you know, you can only be in love with me. That seems to me like it would be a more prevalent rule than I've actually seen. I've kind of gotten comfortable with that. But that's the one that scared me the most, the thought of my partner falling in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just kind of learned that I'd probably be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're all in the same situation.
Seems that way.
Because my partner hasn't gone out and seen anyone at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all in the, you know, on the all 3 years that we've been together, which in some odd way frustrates the ever loving hell out of me. Come on, go date. Do something.
Oh my goodness, this is so a conversation that I was having last week.
It's like, come on, bang some other people for the love of all that is holy. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of the house.
Oh no.
And so I never had that experience of, you know, my partner falling in love with someone else. My only rule is like, I don't really care what you do, you know, you can just be saying I had sex with person and I'm like, okay, cool. But the moment the field starts getting involved, I do get horrendously jealous, but it's also sort of I just need to work through that type of deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would love to see my partner fall in love in a way, I guess, because he's much more inexperienced than I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm his first relationship, serious relationship. So it'll be nice to see, you know, my partner go, yeah, you know, I'm loving this other person, and then see how it brightens him up and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So, would you ever be okay with being monogamous? Do you think you're even capable of it, being monogamous? Or are you just a full non-monogamy kind of person?
I have no idea anymore.
Ditto.
Honestly, I don't know anymore.
I mean,
because for me,
I could probably, like, if it were really important, I could probably stop acting on impulses and feelings and things like that. But it would certainly never go away. Like, my imagination would be the most active that it has ever been.
Yeah, I've gotten to a point where I consider polyamory the same way I consider bisexuality, of whether or not I'm actively acting on it. It's
still there.
It's who I am. It's what my sexuality is. I've learned that I can love multiple people at the same time. And mm-hmm. That's just what I am. So yeah, I guess if it really, really came to it, you know, I love my partner deeply. I maybe would be able to, you know, to adjust, but it doesn't change who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely with you there. I well, maybe in the future, anything could happen, you know, any ideas or however. But I am unhappy when I'm only with one partner or only doing anything with just my primary, not even trying to get laid or anything, or trying to go and do something, then I get pretty unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be saying that I don't think I'm capable of not monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be able to explore and kind of do what I want to do. And which would lead up to the next thing. Would you ever be okay with being not monogamous for the rest of your life? Or more of the better question would be, say some monogamous person came along and asked you to be monogamous. In this case, that wouldn't happen so much because you're already in very established relationships. So let's just say if your partner said, okay, I'm not okay with this anymore, and I want you to never see anything, do anything. I just want you to be monogamous to me. Would you go ahead and be like, okay, I think I can do that? Or would you have reconsiderations of how you feel and whatnot?
I would have a really difficult time with it, and I would need a very good reason to limit myself like that. Like, I would need to know what was actually behind that kind of question. Because it just, well, you know, because of my comfort or something like that is certainly not a good enough reason for me to basically turn off a part of myself.
Yeah, I think in the way that my current relationship works, it would be a little hard to deal with. I feel like our relationship would need to change a little bit because me and my partner are very independent people. We spend a lot of time apart. And we're also very different. So there is a bit more of a yearning for, you know, finding other people to share different interests and share time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I were in a relationship with someone else where we very much had the, like, we are with each other all the time and go everywhere together sort of thing, which I almost can't imagine because of the relationship that I've been in for so long. But I know that there are relationships like that. And if you are really getting a lot of companionship from each other all the time, then, you know, then maybe it does work. Maybe it is a workable thing. But I would miss it if everything else in my relationship stayed the same.
I would be blunt to say that there will be a time where if we keep talking about it and it's not working out, I would kind of consider breaking up with Mr. Coolidge. I don't know. Because I think it's A, I'm not in. I mean, I'm 3 years in, but it's also I can't tolerate someone turning a part of me off. I might be okay with just dating only men or only women, but I wouldn't be okay with being forced to be monogamous,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think in that particular case, it's about the force. That you used the word force that makes me bristle. Like, why would you need... Why would such a thing be a requirement?
Yeah, especially since it's even more off-putting because, again, the way we came together was out of a, you know, a non-monogamous situation.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that.
And ultimatums and things don't really go well with communicative... with
good, healthy relationships.
Yes. Relationships.
Well, it could be an initial being of a, okay, I don't feel comfortable, and things like, do you think you could do that? And it might not go down to it. It's me or them type of situation, but even before the ultimatum, I would be pretty adamant about, I can't, just no. which might turn into an ultimatum, and that's where the difficult part starts, you know. Okay. So do any of your friends or family know your situation, or are you in the closet?
Friends know, family doesn't.
Okay.
Most of my friends know, none of my family does. Like,
was there, go ahead.
They know, like, the names of some of my past, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. They know those names, but, like, they don't know the nature of those relationships, I guess. So, like.
Got it.
They just know about.
My friend.
Close relevant friends, yeah. That came into your life.
Yes.
What were the initial reactions when you came out? Well, in this case, to your friends, so to speak.
Well, I'm thinking of my best friend. She was like, no shit, because I'm actually in a similar situation. Let's have some drinks. But I don't... Go ahead. I was just going to say nobody's surprised by that. Like, nobody's surprised by that fact of me.
Yeah, I have pretty liberal friends who, even if they weren't in the same situation, I don't think any of my friends are openly... Some of my friends might be poly. No one thought it was a big deal or was shocked or anything. It's just like, oh, okay. Why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, why are you being so scared and dramatic? Just whatever. Yeah. Don't care. Oh, it's like, oh, yeah. It's like in Her, right? Where the main character says, oh, yeah, I'm dating an AI. And then the people don't even bat an eye. I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. This is probably how it is. Most of my friends are kinky, and, you know, a bunch of them are poly. It's actually weird, like, to joke that, okay, so who's the straight monogamous person in this room?
Yeah.
Or not straight, or, you know, like, okay, let's say monosexual. That's what I use. And then, you know, some people are like, am I the only one in this room right now? It's pretty fun.
Your friends sound fun.
So one of the big topics in poly is dun, 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 jealousy. So some people get jealous and some people don't ever get jealous. So do you get jealous? First question.
In certain circumstances. So, like, Mr. Coolidge, Mr. Vanilla hasn't really dated, isn't really dating. Like, he's interested, but he's not, like, looking for anything, because his life is batshit right now. So, I mean, I can't imagine a world in which I would get jealous of him. Honestly, oh, goodness. The man friend is... very monogamous by nature. So, like, he gets weird when I start looking around. And not, like, weird, but, like, I can tell it kind of makes him grit his teeth a little bit. So when he starts, or, like, when I know that somebody's interested in him, I bristle just a little bit, but I pull that back in because I realize that that's probably a stupid waste of emotion for me. So, not of my primary, but of my man friend, I do.
Emotions are weird like that,
no
right?
Shit, no shit, right?
And it can be pretty common, actually. To just get... You don't get jealous over someone, you know... you don't get jealous because of one partner doing something, but, you know, the other partner, oh, God forbid, why are you touching him, her?
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
Yeah, I think I've felt it with both my partner who hasn't explored much, and other relationships. But I've probably felt it more with other relationships. And I think that it might connect with that I've felt it in relationships where I'm dominant and I'm not dominant with my partner.
That's a good point,
and
too.
Yeah, there's a possessiveness that comes with D's relationships that I think helps trigger some of that jealousy of just like, well, I've referred to this person as mine on many occasions. And mm-hmm. so... you're touching what's mine. yeah. Like I feel that way about, you know, anything is fine, but knowing that someone else is being dominant to, you know, to a submissive of mine, that can like certainly give me little twinges in the back of the head. But, I had a friend describe this in a way that I really, really love. That jealousy to someone who is polyamorous is kind of like a tiredness to an athlete. Like it's something you've accepted as a side effect of this thing that you've decided to do and are passionate about. And it's hard for a non-athlete to imagine being that tired that often. Or having their muscles sore more often than not. But since it's part of this thing that you've decided to do, like, you still feel it, but it's not a crushing, overwhelming thing. It's just like, oh, I know what that is. I'm going to wait for it to pass.
Yeah. I'm a really jealous person. I'm not in that, you know, green-eyed, want to stab my partners to death kind of jealous.
Whoa.
But it's sort of a, you know, that's how a lot of people deal, you know, how they feel. But for me, it's, like you said, it's sort of like tiredness. But I get tired a lot, I guess.
So, you said green-eyed, stab your partner to death. Do you want to, like, is it aimed at your partner? Or is it aimed at the bitch who's looking at your partner?
What? never at the, you know, like I kind of view the new, you know, the other partners as, you know, like they're, it's like blaming the girl that your partner is cheating with when it's your partner that's
doing the cheating,
affecting you, and you know, being the asshole, not, you know, the other person comes along. It's not like they're completely not at fault, but it's a waste of time to be angry on the person when the, you know, instead of the partner who's doing it to you. So usually it's a combination. It's hard. I still haven't quite figured it out yet. But it's, I would tell my partner, I'm jealous because a lot of times it's insecurity, you know, the whole like fear of missing out, or sometimes it's sort of a possessiveness of like, I don't know her, who is she? And in a moment I get to know the person, it's, I would develop an opinion, and then either that would be like, I don't like her, and I'm gonna get a little jealous if I don't like her, or I'd be like, oh, I love her, now get the hell away from me and go hang out with her.
Well, you just mentioned something interesting. I think jealousy is a really good chance to ask for kind of what you need, like when I feel it coming on a little bit, like the way that I solve it is by saying I need a little love right now. And instead of then being, you know, mad at somebody because of some real or imagined slight, I get to kind of turn that around and get whatever it is that I'm kind of missing. If it's, you know, I need some affection, or I need to get beat, or like whatever the hell that happens to be, like when I'm jealous, it's usually because I feel like I'm like, there's something that I need some more of that is being given to somebody else.
Yeah, I just, you know, sort of a pet me, tell me I'm pretty, yes. And then I'll be okay with it.
Yes, I know that's silly, but it works for me.
No, it works for me. I just need to say, I need to tell me when it's happening, and then tell me that I'll be okay, and you still love me, and you won't leave me. Don't leave
me. That right there.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a difference between jealousy that's inspired by some fear and insecurity, which, you know, something should probably be done about, as opposed to jealousy that's just purely like, there's a hickey on you that I didn't give you. and I feel like the latter, like, it, you definitely feel it, but there's sort of, there's no surrounding problem or canker to it. Whereas, jealousy that is driven by fear can get really, really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's what can make jealousy something that you can't just feel and get over, when it's just like, but what if they do like them better? What if they do leave me for them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually a sign of, you know, a different underlying problem.
Yeah, that's true. And exactly, there's, you know, a lot of people put jealousy under one big singular thing, when there's a lot of different little tiny separate emotions that can be contributed to it, like envy or insecurity or however. And a lot of times it's good to sit down and break down, okay, am I actually this thing called jealous? Where is it coming from? Am I just having, you know, a bad case of the FOMO, which is fear of missing out? And it's like, oh, I want to be there and hang out with you too, but I know you're doing it with someone else. Or is it I fear that you're going to leave me? Or is it just something else? You know, it's just, I mean, your emotions are kind of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And we keep mentioning, you know, kink, right? Let's just say DS or whatever. And a lot of times that is very much intertwined. I mean, not everyone who's poly is kinky, and not everyone who's kinky is poly, but there's a lot of overlap, just like how a lot of kinky people are nerdy.
Hmm.
Yep.
It's true. That. Yeah, the biggest group on FetLife is like, what, Kinky and Kiki, I think it's called? Yeah, or something like that. And that's the most popular group. So... are any of you in a configuration where power exchange is involved? So, you know how some people have, like, I am Dom, therefore I have harem. Only, it's like where the one penis policy also comes in. That's a really common thing where it goes, I am Dom, you are harem. Harem, no get touchy by other Dom.
I've felt that, but also that's fucked up.
So for me, one reason that really, besides being bi, you know, I'm that mythical bi poly switch unicorn, and
yep.
That makes three of us.
That makes three of us, you know. I love being submissive, and most of my serious relationships is where I'm the submissive, partly because I think that I take it so seriously that, and I don't think that I have the energy or time to take care of a submissive, because I am one myself, so I take it really seriously, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're saying my words, man.
So, yeah. So I still need to play, though. I still need to go out and, you know, hone my top skills or explore. And so I would have play partners that I, you know, torture and make them cry for my pleasure. And, well, sometimes their pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing of why I refuse to be monogamous. Even if I have a switch, is sort of that whole, like, okay, I want to play with a female sub, and then I want to play with a male sub, and then I want to play with a femdom, and I want to play with a male dom. And then I want to play with switches and everything. I just want everything. No wonder they joke that we're greedy. I have a friend that says, oh, you're bi poly and a switch, aren't you? I'm like, yes. And it's like, I like everything. And he's like, no, you're just greedy.
Well,
Whoever said greedy was a bad word?
No, nobody did.
You kind of only get one life is the thing.
See?
You can only get one life, yeah.
Greedy gets kind of understandable under that context.
Yeah, it's like, I want to feel everything in all the feels. Hmm.
I think a lot of why I ended up, you know, getting in touch with my poli side is exactly that reason that I am, that DNS is pretty important to me and something that I was very, very interested in, and my partner had no interest in whatsoever. And that's also probably why it would be difficult to go back into straight up monogamy with him, because it is something that I do want to explore, and you know, if I would, it would be a huge thing missing from my life otherwise. So yeah, I, and also he's not actually someone who, we don't really have the kind of relationship where he wants to be taken care of a lot, or he does, but only in certain ways. So sort of in the opposite of, you know, mostly being submissive because of not wanting to really have the, not sure about having the time and energy to really care for another person. I find myself that I sort of crave that, that I, what I seek out in a secondary relationship usually is a place for me to be dominant and for me to really take care of someone. So it's both a place for me to be mean and a place for me to be really nice, a place to give all of my extra affection and also, you know, maybe some pain.
Who says that pain can't be love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me at least, they go very, very hand in hand.
Oh, I was just going to say. So I'm submissive. I'm like the brattiest of submissives. but like, that's still how I identify. I'm shit when I try and top. It's the saddest thing. Like, there's no excuse for it.
So not true.
Well, that's for a different day. but so I found that, like, okay, so I really like, you know, being hit, being made to cry. I like having somebody else take my orgasms away from me. You know, like, those are things that are really satisfying to me. And, Mister is, like, he's got a dominant side to him, but he doesn't have it to give as much as I want to take it, if that makes any sense. So that's what's kind of fun about poly, is that if I form the right kinds of relationships, if I'm not like, if I've got an itch that I need scratched and Mister's not in the mood for it right now, I can go to somebody else who I love and trust and completely care about and am willing to sub for, and get it there. And to my knowledge, neither of them has any particular jealousy over the other one in that way, because they both kind of had this attitude like, well, I'm not in it right now, so as awful as it sounds, go get it elsewhere. That's not right. Get it from that other person, not just go get it randomly elsewhere, because that would not go over well.
Hey, you, come here.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, hey, like, grab the person off. It's like bang, bang. You know, you just grab the person off the street. Hey, you wanna, you know, call me names and or not, you know, or like,
oh,
do you want
to? God, that so doesn't work. It's like right getting now. It's like getting random dommy messages via Reddit. It just it's not a thing that works.
Oh my god, it's like when people do that. I'm not, and you know, I won't go into what kind of submissive I am. I would have this thing where I want to crush their souls with my
rib. Yeah.
do any of you keep gifts around just in case you get like a random dick pic or something of like a scissor cutting a banana or something?
No, like... but I need part of your collection, hon. Email me later.
Yeah. Clear, strong response.
It's no, or you just go into a, wow, that was so anticlimactic.
And to be clear, we're talking about the randos that, like, I don't know about you guys, whenever I put out a submissive audio, I usually get two maybe three messages that's like, I'm gonna make you my bitch, and P.S. here's my username. Like, I'm sorry, who the fuck are you?
I don't really get that anymore. All I get are, and I feel bad because some people, or maybe it's just because I have a very high creep tolerance. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, it's like, oh, people would be like, that's really creepy, and be like, oh, really? It's not that bad.
It's not creepy, it's just irritating.
I've mostly gotten entirely nice messages. I have.
Exactly.
I have been very, very lucky not getting a whole lot of rando horribleness. And I think part of it is really just that most of my audios are either dominant or neutral. I have very few submissive audios,
mm-hmm.
even though I am a bit of a switch. But it's just people are, I think there's more disrespect that gets sent to subs. Which is so shitty.
This is so shitty. You know, unlike on FetLife or whatever, where you both ends of the slash gets the same shitty messages, just in different forms. You know, oh, I'll do anything, ugh. Please.
Yeah.
or you know, I get mostly nice messages. Of course, you know, someone telling me that they came really hard to my audio.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
fine.
It's like, okay. Yeah, that's no like, oh, that how nice of you. How nice of you, you know. And they just have to ask if they want me to send me what they thought about me when they do it. But if they just go straight into, yeah, I totally thought about, you know, raping you in a dark alley. And I'm like, that's hot, but not the way you executed the delivery of said sexy mm-hmm. message. Mm-hmm. So, wow, I totally went off track.
That kind of spiraled.
That kind of flew off. That kind of spiraled out. Where were we? I'm almost tempted to rewind so I know where we were because I can't remember. What were we talking about?
We were
poly relating to
kinks. Poly relating to kinks.
Yeah, poly related to kinks. So, since you say that you're in certain configurations, this is more aimed at Vanilla. So are you in a, you know, a quote-unquote power exchange relationship instead of just play where there are some protocol, you do default? If yes, are you in a dealer's relationship with both of them, or are you just playing with man friend Vanilla?
Relationships evolve, so like when it started out it was very much like I call you sir, you tell me what to do, I can't come unless you tell me I can, and like that's still there, but it's not the main thing in either of my relationships. It is like I can be like, okay, I have this need that I need filled. Can somebody please help me out? Somebody, anybody, please.
Anybody. I can't. I need someone to tell me what to do.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
Turn me on.
Okay, so like outside of those moments when I say, listen, I really need you to beat me, and I need it right now. Outside of that, they're both pretty close to level, I guess we'll say. But I definitely do like to play with at least bedroom DS. Like, yes, please. Yes to that. That's where I'm happiest.
What about you, Lola?
Pretty much all of my non-primary relationships have been D's.
Okay.
But yeah, I my partner isn't interested, and he actually, he said to me in a way that was oddly sort of romantic and moving, of just, you know, I want you to be able to explore these things that I don't feel like I can give you, and, you know, I want you to be happy, and that's why. Yeah, like it's there were times earlier in our relationship where, you know, there's always that stupid back of the mind concern of like, who loves who more? Who needs the other more? I've felt a lot more secure since he did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means a lot.
It's so cute.
Yeah. Actually, Mister and I had a conversation like that recently too, where I was like, okay, if we go all the way through with this thing and I actually let somebody else penetrate me, are you going to look at me the same way? And he's like, absolutely not a chance in hell. And like, I burst into tears because that's what I do. And he said that,
No, I was like, yep, that's me too.
And he said that it's because, you know, when monogamy is not on the table anymore, and he's like, when you actually see your partner being fucked by another human being, or, you know, when those things actually happen, you are naturally going to look at them differently. And if you keep coming home, then you know it's a secure relationship, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Similar to what...
I would come home.
I was just similar to what Lola was saying, but without the kink part of it. What were you saying, Coolidge?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I come home from sexy times or whatever, my boyfriend's like, let's bang.
Immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah. And I come home and it's like, okay, let's bang now. It's almost like all right, you're home now. It's either, oh, I'm turned on that, you know, you look so happy and I want to bang you. Or it's more like you are back, you know, back to mine. And because mine, okay, let mm-hmm. me make sure. You know, it's like a reclaiming kind of thing, you know.
God, in a weird reclamation way. Sex is definitely the best.
Which is...
Reclamation sex is the best. It's like makeup sex, but better.
But better because there's no anger in it. because you know, the irony is that, like, I came up, I want a sub ends up with two doms. So,
oh yeah.
Mm. How the fuck does that happen?
Yes. I would like a female relationship ends up with two men.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes! Yes!
Yep.
It's like, I would like to have a girlfriend ends up with another guy.
Yep.
So, like I said, both of my partners are dominant. I don't know why that happened. So, I would like to say somehow, in some weird way, I am into Diaz relationships. A lot of people are like, how the fuck does that work? My primary gets, you know, it's also hierarchical. So if my primary says, don't come, you know, and for a few days, then I can't run off and, you know, get forced orgasms.
Does that create friction?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
You know, between you and secondaries?
I mean, I think that you have to just really discuss that beforehand, where like, these are the terms, these are the barriers of entry, and if you're okay with it, you know, welcome to inside me.
To inside me.
If not so much, welcome to inside me. if you're not okay with it, then shucks, you know. There's usually not a conflict, and luckily, you know, my secondary is like, yeah, I understand, you know, my quote-unquote, I understand my place.
Oh, I don't like hearing that.
No, wait, you like hearing that when it's directed to
Well, yeah, okay, that's fair. That's a true statement right there.
But
As a dom, it's sort of more love hierarchies, regardless of my place in them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I have told, you know, I've told him, I don't care, you know, if I'm first or not. I just need to know where I am, where I stand.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Do they? Do Mr. Coolidge and Coolidge's man friend know each other, or? And yes. And does the fact that they're both dominant cause friction between them?
No, but my V is pretty segregated, if that makes sense. You know, they don't hang out together or anything. And that can cause what they call, when I was reading the book, called ping pong poly, where I'm like the messenger in a way where I have to just deal with everything.
Okay.
So if there's conversations to be have and both of them in the same week, I can come out really exhausted.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because I'm, you know, yeah. Huh? Yeah, but, you know, one of them will tell me what to wear, right? One of them has the ongoing protocol of telling me what to wear every day, or say, take a picture of what you're wearing so I know every day. And, you know, someone else would say, you know, and then, like, Mr. Coolidge might have another protocol, like, come home and take off my shoes every day because I live with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't conflict with each other. And if there's conflict, you know, Mr. Coolidge's rule goes first.
That sounds familiar.
And Manfred Coolidge knows that. So. Mm-hmm. And there are different DS relationships. One's like DDLG and like one is DS. Mm-hmm. So there's also, that's kind of why it works too.
Yeah. Like, no, that can really help to have kind of different types. I know that was comforting for a while that, you know, I had a very serious, D's relationship, and he was seeing other people, and those people did occasionally get dominant, but there was sort of an understanding of, like, we did pet play, and, you know, like, I only had one pet, he only had one, you know, master pet dynamic. So that helped to kind of separate, like, well, you get to be possessive of this thing being yours.
Mm-hmm. And somehow I find, like, I feel like there's two of me. So when I'm in with one person, it's like, okay, that's you know, that's Coolidge too. And you know, this submissive Coolidge wants to be caller too. To, you know, like, Mr., you know, like, to sir, and then the other one's like, I want daddy's collar, too. And it works, you know. I'm greedy and want to. I know there's not a lot of neck space, but, neck real estate, but. And so it's like, there's two of me, and I'm submitting to two people. It's not like I'm being split. Does that make sense? Because of the different dynamics, yeah. So it's not like I'm being split 50-50. It's more like somehow I have a copy and it works that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can submit myself wholeheartedly to two people. And I think that's a thing that a lot of people don't understand. If, you know, because people are so used to having, you know, like, I am dom, this is harem of dom, rather than I am sub and this is somehow harem of sub. Yeah. Of course I use harem, like,
You said something that you feel like there's basically two copies of you and that you can give your whole self to each of them. That's actually something that I've only been able to articulate in the last, I don't know, year or so too. Because the man friend really likes to use possessive words like mine and belongs to me and things like that. And, like, at first it gave me just a little bit of dissonance because I was like, I mean, I can't say that I'm all the way yours, because that's not entirely true. But, after I, you know, sat down and thought about it for a while, the answer is actually, yes, I can, because in that moment, I'm 100% yours, just like when I'm with Mr. V, I'm 100% his. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm really 100% mine, and I give myself to whomever I want, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, you know. Sure, I can't be like, yeah, I'm 100% yours when it's not, how do I put it, when it's sort of a, okay, I can feel that it might not come from sexy 100% ownership. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, how do I put this? It's hard to articulate it, but it's like I said, it's a two copy situ. It's a copy, you know, two of me situation, and I hope they can. It comes across that way. So I'd be like, oh yes, sir, I am yours, or I'm like, I'm yours, daddy. It's like, yeah. At what moment it is? You're right. I am 100% yours. And I love the ever-loving shit out of you, and I'm yours, and please take me.
Yeah. You can be entirely one person's in one moment and entirely another's in another moment. I feel like I didn't really discover that with Deez. I discovered that with love, just, you know, because you think of love as this very consuming, or at least I originally thought of it as this consuming singular thing, and it was I feel like at first every sort of like poly relationship kind of gets tested in this way, whether it's, you know, their partner getting penetrated or falling in love, of just like, it's scary until the worst happens
and the world doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, seeing seeing the world not fall apart, seeing that falling in love with someone else doesn't make you love the original person any less at all, was at first very scary, and then eventually deeply reassuring.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That
and exactly, and there's different kinds of in love, if that makes sense. The way I love, say, Mr. Coolidge is different than I love the man friend, you know, there's different feelings attached, and so it's not like, oh, one more than the other. Yeah, it's different,
certainly.
And that also comes to, so there's this technical term called NRE, which is short for new relationship energy, which is when you first meet someone and you like them and you're like, oh my god, they're the best person in the world, I have a crush, and
the
and
butterflies,
the world is rainbows,
everything
and
about you is, you know, fascinating,
everything about you is fascinating, you're a unicorn, shiny and that's when, you know, a lot of relationships get tested too, when, you know, when one of your partners, you know, which is me, right, that's me, because I'm the one who's out, you know, doing things, is sort of a, you know, oh my god, there's so much shiny, but then you have to remember to not, you know, run off of your, you know, run and neglect your partner. If I were, say, if I was talking to someone who has a W, or someone who both partners are out, you know, doing things, then it would be a different question, because it would be like, how do you deal with that? So I don't know if you can speak for your partners, but when you run off, I don't know if you have that, where you're like, everything is beautiful about you. How does your partner deal with that? Do you ever have to struggle with neglecting, not neglecting your partner and going off and chasing, you know, the feeling, so to speak? Like, you just want to hang out with the new person forever and ever.
Well, okay, so I am a sucker for NRE. Like, it's my favorite drug. My goodness. So, Mr. V, I've been called intense a time or two in my life. I have a lot of energy to give out, and I like to receive a lot of energy back. So, when I'm, like, in the throes of the NRE, I think he's actually generally pretty happy to let me go do my thing with whoever the man or woman friend happens to be at that time, because it means he can play video games with his headphones on, you know. I work very hard to not get it out of control. Like, I for whatever energy I put into my new relationship, I usually make sure to, like, bring it back and, like, not necessarily a one-for-one, but if I have a date with a new relationship, I'll try and set up a date with Mr. V, too, for later on or something like that. So I'm a sucker for it, but I try really hard to kind of rein it in and not let it get out of control.
Yeah, my relationships have been okay because we have a lot of independence and time away from each other, it doesn't really stretch too far.
Mm-hmm.
But I have screwed up a threesome that way.
What?
the one positive threesome experience that I've had a number of crappy ones. I could not help but focus on the new person. It was just
I've done that before.
And shiny, and I want to touch you. I really want to touch you. And my partner told me afterwards, just like, yeah, you totally ignored me. That sucked.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt really bad.
Aww.
I'm guilty of that, too.
Yeah. I do not know how to balance that yet. I haven't had one since.
That's why foursomes are better.
Foursomes are fun.
I would think. I would like to do that sometime.
Foursomes, I like, you know what I say, foursomes are better. If you get tired and you tap out, you know, for 10 minutes or so, you don't stop what's going on, like there's still, you know, other people are still banging each other and it's all good in the world. But if you get tired and then threesome, I mean, it's great and all, but now you're just watching two people banging, and as wonderful as it could be because you're watching your partner having sex with someone else, right? I love that feeling. It's still like,
yeah.
did I is this still a threesome? Can I call this a threesome? Or am I just watching my partner having mm-hmm. sex? Yeah. And the also, fun is different. Yeah.
This was also so many years ago, and I feel like I have changed so much in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I love my threesomes.
Mm.
My foursomes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I am a unicorn, so to speak. Unicorn being the mythical bi person who wants to have sex with couples. Who's totally fine with having sex with couples, you know. But I have a couple I have sex with more often or not, and it's gotten to the point. I like them because they're totally comfortable, you know. At one point, I had a finger up the girl's butt.
Okay.
And she was having sex with her partner with my finger up her butt. It was really trippy because I could feel his penis.
Yeah, that sounds pretty agreeable.
I was gonna say.
It's even better if the girl is, you know, bi.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different configurations.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, I would try with a couple. That would be interesting.
You would try with a couple.
Yeah, I think limitations on, you know, being physical with men would probably stop me, but I would be open to that because I think it also helps, as you've described, you have some voyeur in you. You know, enjoy seeing other people apart together, even if you're not a part of it. And I think you kind of need a bit of that to get intimate with an already arranged couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got that too, for certain.
Yeah, for certain. Yeah, I agree. And sometimes, you know, if you know that they're basically up for anything, so if you know that you can just suddenly sit on someone's face and they'd be totally cool with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who's got plans tonight?
Who's got plans tonight? And the thing is that people think we go off and have orgies every day. I'm like, do you know how hard it is to plan an orgy? It took me 3 weeks to get a date with, you know, insert person mm-hmm. here. Imagine having to do a mm-hmm. threesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's oddly it's hard true. To find three people who are all interested in each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Since I know that you're a little short on time, that I'm going to wrap this up a little bit, is, well, there's a few ending questions. So what would you say is some of the most important skills you need from poly?
Communication
could work.
Yes.
Honest communication.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's other things like self-reflection and
I was gonna say self-awareness would be.
Yeah, no, self-awareness is also big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the logistical things like time management skills and...
Yeah. Like they say, like I say, it's not about the limit of your heart. It's about the time slots left
time
on
the
Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how much energy you have left. And then, okay, what have you learned about yourself from doing poly? And what advice would you have for people who are trying to explore while being not monogamous?
I touched on it before. I think that the biggest thing that I've learned that I'm really, really happy about is just learning that love is limitless for me. And I don't know if that is the case for everyone, but I think that it's incredibly freeing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like some real crunchy hippie shit, but yeah, there's so much comfort and security that comes from the realization that that loving one person doesn't have to take away from your love of another person.
That is literally what I was going to say, except for less articulately. Yeah, I would say the realization that I am actually capable of falling in love with more than one person. It's freeing and it's comforting.
Okay.
And I've also learned, how to take care of myself. So like if I know right now what I really need is just comfort and cuddles, I know who to go to for that. And if I need to be hit, I go somewhere else for that, you know? Kind of forced me to be a little more self-aware as to like what it is that I need and a little more assertive about going to get it.
Yeah. By exploring with other people, I feel more satisfied in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like my primary relationship is stronger. I think it's stronger now than it was 3 years ago.
Yep.
Yep, and definitely there's also the realization of, like, you know, which is one of the most freeing things, is that, hey, my partner doesn't have to be everything.
Yes.
And, yes, yep. They don't have to fill all the holes.
Sometimes it's fun.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I have something like, oh, you know, if your partner's completely dominant, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go off and pee on some poor bottom or whatever, and they're going to love it, and it'll be totally fine that there's no pressure to be someone's everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that can be a real strain to try to be everything for someone. I don't think that anyone really can.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, too. And coming to the realization is sort of amazing.
Which sounds like I'm saying that there are no happy monogamous relationships. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, you know, you find some of that satisfaction, I think, with friends or with other things. Like, even if it's just like, you know, my partner hates theater and I need someone to go to plays with. Like, you find ways to fill those gaps. To, you know, no one is going to speak to every interest and desire that you have, and it's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, yeah, exactly. If I were monogamous and I actually needed cuddles that Mr. V wasn't interested in giving me, I would probably go for tea and sympathy with my best girlfriend, you know. But since I have the option of more than one relationship, I can get it met, at least for me, a little more fully in somebody else, whoever that somebody else happens to be.
Exactly. Never, a lot of people think that we, a lot of poly people, that like we think, oh, poly is better. No, it's different. And what I'm saying is that not that, you know, poly is better at filling these holes. It's that for a lot of monogamous people, you know, who eventually realize that, is that they either decide that, you know, because their mom, they love this person so much that they can do without. Or they compromise and, you know, say, I hate theater, but I'm going to, I hate theater and you hate sports, so I'm going to drag you to theater and, you know, and vice versa. And that's another way to do it. And, you know, that's totally fine.
Yeah, it's,
Polly can be better at literally filling holes.
Yeah. Oh, Lola.
Literally filling holes.
I adore you.
And then, you know, and then there's advice time. Say, what are some advice you would give to someone who's already in an open relationship, and what would you give advice to someone who is thinking about doing it, opening up their relationship?
Well, somebody who's already in an open relationship, I would have a hard time giving advice on that subject because it's still very fresh and new to me. Like,
yeah, same.
My first relationship was maybe, or my first extra Mr. V relationship was 8 years ago or something like that, but it's not been something that we've done much of except for recently, like the last few years. So I'd have a hard time giving advice to somebody that was already in an established monogamous or poly relationship, or like if they were already part of that. But somebody who is just going into it, I would say, ask yourself every ugly question that you can possibly think of. And well, I guess it would depend on if they were in a pre-existing monogamous relationship or if they were single. But if they were in a pre-existing monogamous relationship, I would say you have a lot of long nights of very heavy discussions ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And just buckle up, bitches, because it's going to be fun for a little while.
It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of self-analyzation. And thank goodness there's books for poly. Yeah. God, they have all the hard questions printed out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Lola?
Yeah, I've got a similar, just like, I don't feel like I can give much advice because it's still also very new and ongoing and changing for me. But just kind of the standard, like, try to be as honest and communicative as you can. Really probe yourself for self-awareness as you go, not just at first.
Yeah.
You know, try to keep in touch with things and understand that things adapt and change, and that what you thought and what you wanted at the beginning might not be what you want and think in 3 months and 6 months and 9 months and etc. And, you know, just roll with it. And the thing that kind of oddly took me forever, which is that shocking realization that there aren't really rules.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not just like, well, non-standard relationships can't work because there is no example of happy polyamory in media in existence except, you know, maybe one movie in Sense8. Like, just know that there are lots of happy, satisfied poly people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why that post in Backstage made me so excited. It's like, holy shit, I did not know these people were poly.
Yeah, it's nice, right? And I wanted to talk about it. And then people think that, you know, poly is just one singular configuration. So I wanted people of all different stages. You know, people have been like, I've been doing this since the 60s. You know? And then there's people who are like, we're really new. We just started. And, you know, there's people who are like, yeah, we're just swingers. And they're all under this umbrella, which is why I posted that ridiculous image. Because then a lot of people were like, oh, crap, you're right. You know, that is kind of like, oh, maybe I do fall. Maybe my arrangement does fall into, you know, that umbrella. And I just never knew. And for me personally, my advice for established people is like, don't get complacent. Just because you've been doing it for a little while doesn't mean that, you know everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's new situations or sometimes... You can still fail at being poly just because you've been doing it for a while. That's what I'm kind of trying to say. You know, and for new ones is, if you're already a couple and you're opening it up, have your shit together before you do it. Okay? Just like how getting married is not going to save your crappy relationship, usually, opening up your relationship isn't going to save your crappy relationship, usually. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a dick move, too, because now you're bringing an innocent human being into your bullshit. And, then there's all the hard questions, like you said previous. But that's one of my pet peeves, is like, you know...
Oh, I was going to say, that's another one. Like, keep in mind that whatever kind of configuration you've got in your mind, when you open up your relationship, you are inviting another person into it, too. So... they are not basically a sex toy, you know, they're not somebody that comes in.
That's important.
they're a whole the new human
person,
who has,
don't treat the new person like a thing. It's easier than you would think to
It is so easy. I agree with you.
You
know, only treat people like things humans when they want to in the bedroom.
Damn, Lola.
And that's it, you know, that's the stereotypical takeaway question. So thank you so much for carving out an hour and a half with me. I'm really honored to get that. And
thank you so much for inviting
me. Thank you, it was so nice to talk to you guys.
And thank you for everyone who managed to stick through an hour and a half of listening to a podcast, right? Thank you so much for listening. And that's the end.
Bye.